There with Mick Dummerson shortly after 11, and Amanda Rando will join us prior to each race with her selections for the afternoon. But let's reflect on harness racing that has been over the last week. Fred Hastings, good morning.
G'day, Simon. Yeah, it's been a busy week. There's been a bit going on both on and off the track, and one of the news stories that's filtered through is the passing of Courage Under Fire, champion on the track, off the track, and to all concerned, very sad news. Courage Under Fire, a 50-plus time winner, a superstar of the sport, and Courage Under Fire. We lost Courage Under Fire yesterday.
There's quite a few Courage Under Fires going around at the moment, aren't there?
Say again, Simon.
They're quite his progeny.
Yeah. Look, he's been a like I said, some horses, some champions don't always translate to the breeding barn their success, but Courage Under Fire certainly fits that bill, and he's got plenty of progeny that are doing well. So it's a real loss, and we lost a real good sire in Courage Under Fire. Peter Kelly Horton Wybrow won five races during the course of the week, started in the training ranks, three winners at Newcastle Monday and two more last night. The Rickson kids we spoke to Ellen last week, you'll fondly remember, Simon. Mm. She won the three races at Newcastle on Monday and had some more success during the course of the ensuing 7 days. So too did little brother Will. He had a good night with a double last night. On the Metro side of things, we've got an absorbing battle in the trainers and drivers' premierships for the Metro rankings. Of course, we saw in the Gallup World yesterday it came down to the wire with Huey Bowman and Brenton Abdullah. Well, I think we're going to see a similar thing, Simon, with only four meetings left of the Metro season. Todd McCarthy leads the drivers' premiership on 32, two in front of brother Luke on 30, and Chris Geary snapping at their heels on 28. Only four wins between the three. And in the trainers' premiership, John McCarthy has 28 winners, two ahead of Shane and Lauren Tritton on 26. Craig Cross has 24, and Kerry Ann Turner 23, and Kevin Pizzuto 22. So only about six wins separating five trainers with four meetings to go. Mm. And speaking of Kevin Pizzuto, as he zeroes in on his 100 wins for the season, he prepared last night's Group 3 winner of the Campbelltown Catholic Club pace.
Better Bet Black giving back as a sight. Leads the way by a neat length on Code Black. Blazin' and Cullen is being popped the question but not responding at the moment. Around it is Real Stride. All Bliss Major Star tracks into it okay but has to go wide. And Little Rascal and Match Point head the remainder. Better Bet Black's the leader. But Toddy Max away from the inside in plenty of time to give chase on the favourite Code Black. Real Stride is trying to get to those. And back to the inside. All Bliss is running a race at big odds. It's Better Bet Black being joined by Code Black who hit the lead. It's Code Black about a head in front. Better Bet Black, nothing if not. Gamers trying to raise another effort. And then came All Bliss. Little Rascal's going to make one late flood at them. But when the line has reached, Code Black just in front. Code Black has beaten Better Bet Black. For third we have...
Yeah, so a tight finish, but the favourite just scrambling in there, Freddie.
He's a nice horse, Simon. He's a four-year-old. He's had 37 starts. He's won 13, placed nine times. And interestingly, nine of his last 13 runs have yielded nine wins, including five straight now. He's a rising five-year-old. He's a sub-151 winner. He beat a brave Better Bet Black, and I think he's a horse that's going to really... I think he'll win a good race. He's got a good race in him, Code Black. The Carnival of Cups circuit and those sort of races certainly appeal as though they'll be targets for Code Black. He's a nice horse and one with plenty of upward scope.
Now, Freddie, we're about to introduce our special guest this morning. It's been a sad week in harness racing. We lost a legend.
We did, Simon. It's been well documented that we lost the legendary driver, trainer and horseman Kevin Newman. Kevin, he presided over the Halcyon era at Harold Park during the 60s and the 70s where he won 10 trainers' premierships and 8 drivers' premierships. He was counsel to many trainers in their fledgling careers, including our guest, John Tapp. John, of course, not only sought counsel on training matters but had the privilege and pleasure to watch Kevin Newman through his 1050 binoculars when he was in the back straight there calling the action at Harold Park, and I'm really pleased to say that John Tapp has given us some time this morning to reflect on the life and times of Kevin Newman. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Tappy.
Yes, boys, I had a little phone trouble, but it's now cleared and I can hear you loud and clear.
Terrific, John. Thanks for giving us some time. Of course, so you saw the best of KB Newman through those 10.50s when you were perched high up in the back straight there at Harold Park. He really held no peer during that era, despite the talent that was on show at that track in that era.
And talent is the operative word, Fred. Trainers and drivers like Percy Hall, John Binskin, Laurie Moles, Vic Frost, Tony Turnbull was a regular from Bathurst every Friday night, Merv Adams, Colin Watts, and many, many others. Every man out on that track at Harold Park was a top professional, be it trainer or driver or both. And that's the sort of elite company in which Kevin Newman dominated. He didn't just succeed, he dominated. In an incredible decade, he won 10 consecutive trainers' premierships. I can't recall, certainly not in my time, and I doubt back in the history of the sport, Fred, has there ever been a more dominant trainer driver over an extended period than the late Kevin Newman.
What set him apart, John? What was the yardstick by which he became measured? What was that one thing that stood out with Kevin, or were there many?
Well, Fred, he was a perfectionist. When it came to his gear and his harness, everything had to be 110%. He would check and double-check. He was an immaculate race driver. Barring accidents and barring interference, he always seemed to have them in exactly the right place at the right time. Wonderful race driver and a master conditioner of the standard bred. His horses were super fit. He was just a complete package, Fred. He was also a wonderful farrier. A lot of people don't realise this. We had a really big team in work, somewhere between 40 and 50 horses. He had to shoe some of them himself because he couldn't get farriers that had the time to help him. So he'd do it himself and do it expertly. He was just a fabulous all-round horseman.
He came to Sydney in the early 50s and he was the youngest licensed driver at the time at the age of 16.
Yes, he was with a veteran trainer called Stan Woodworth in Western Australia. And Stan suddenly decided to bring four horses to Sydney. He thought he could win some of that prize money at Harold Park. So next thing young Kevin knew, he was on an old troop carrier called the Duntroon. They had a 10-day passage from Perth to Sydney and a very, very rough crossing. And Kevin told me once that he suffered the ravages of seasickness and he said he was very pleased to get off the boat. Now, Stan Woodworth tried those horses for a few weeks. He realised they weren't good enough for Harold Park, so he sent them to Adelaide, where one of them won a really good race, a £5,000 race at the time. And Kevin Newman had to make a decision. Did he go back to Perth or back to Sydney? He'd fallen in love with Sydney, and the late Bill Picken had promised him a job if he intended to stay here, and so the Kevin Newman story began.
There we go. It all through a passage on a troop carrier and some seasickness. It was probably the reason he stayed, John. He didn't want to go back on the boat.
I'm sure that was the reason for it.
He had a sense of humour. His wit was sharp, and he was, as I understand, a little bit of a prankster too around the stables.
Yeah, Fred, I don't think I've met a person in either code of horse racing that loved a joke more than Kevin Newman. He was a very good teller, and he was a very good listener. And I'd see him every Friday night at Harold Park downstairs before the first race, and you could back him in. He would have a brand new joke every week. And you don't hear jokes anymore. That's a thing of the past. Yeah. Newman was a master. He had the timing of Jack Benny. And I just enjoyed the bloke's company. He was great fun to be with.
He had some great horses and was associated with great horses. Horses like Koala Frost, Owl's Holiday, Mitchell Victory, among some of his good ones, Adios Victor, Tongue Twister. But quite incredibly, despite him winning 10 trainers' premierships, his two feature race wins at Harold Park and the Miracle Mile came from outside stables. He won for Orb Wesley with Hal Wes. And in 1981, he won for Frankie Day with Friendly Footman.
Tatanova has the lead at the 500. Friendly Footman going up to challenge now. Fossium can't get out. Locano behind Friendly Footman. Koala King can't get out. And Gamelite on the top turn here now. Tatanova just in front of Friendly Footman. Fossium can't get out. Locano behind them. Tatanova has the lead. His driver sitting still. Friendly Footman under pressure. Tatanova leads into the straight from Friendly Footman. And here's Locano. It's Friendly Footman taking the lead. Locano on the outside. Tatanova dropping off. It's Friendly Footman holding the lead, hard driven. And Friendly Footman beats Locano. Close to third. Maybe Tatanova across the
interval. Friendly Footman, John, for Frank Day. And as I said, he won another with the mighty Halwares back in the 60s in the infancy of the Miracle Mile. And up until that time in 1981, he was the only driver to have won two Miracle Miles.
That's correct. Frank Day was driving himself at the time, Fred, and his two sons, Neil and Michael, were just kids. They were too young to be driving at Harold Park. So Frank Day stood down when it came to the Miracle Mile. He thought, I'm going to get the best. Kevin didn't have a drive in the race. Frank Day booked him only a few days before, and the horse death-seated and won. Pretty hard to death-seat and win a Miracle Mile. So he was an underrated little horse, Friendly Footman.
He certainly was. And John, he was also the pioneer of several training techniques that are commonplace, you know, in the current training methodologies. And I know swimming, he made sure he had a swimming pit put into his training establishment around Blacktown Way.
Yes, he put a swimming channel in fairly late in his career, Fred. And he had two or three boys on the staff who quickly learned the fundamentals of swimming horses. I think Kevin had 25 in work at the time. And he was telling me one day that he had to go away somewhere and he left the swimming job to one of the boys. When he got home, he could tell that something pretty unsettling had happened. And one of the boys said, Mr. Newman, do you know those 25 horses we had in work? That's now 24. One of them had drowned, Fred.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, just a
just took sick or
obviously a heart attack.
Right.
The horse just went under and didn't come up again. And Kevin was very upset about that, but he often told me that story whenever the subject of swimming horses came up.
Yes, he was renowned as a living legend, a legend of Harold Park. He was a recipient of an OAM back in 1991. He gave the driving away in 1986, and I was talking to a well-known judge and journalist, Mick Kokas, last night, and he said he remembers Kevin walking past after, by Kevin's own admission, what wasn't one of his better drives. He looked at Mick Kokas and said, I think it's time I give it away, Sonny. And pretty much that was the end of his driving career.
It happened very suddenly, Fred. It was obvious that he was really cutting his own team back. Was taking very few outside drives. I do remember him winning a race on a Tuesday night at Harold Park for another trainer, and I can't recall the horse or the trainer, but he was absolutely brilliant. He drove the horse an absolute treat to get it home narrowly, and it was only a matter of weeks after that that he decided to call it quits. He would have given it away completely at that time had it not been for the enthusiasm of his daughter, Julie Donlan, who was getting very interested in race driving at the time. So Kevin decided to keep going, just keep three or four horses in work so that Julie could have some race drives. And Kevin, of course, continued to train that small team for Julie. Pale Lee was one of them, a lovely little mare who won three or four races at Harold Park. But then Julie decided to give it away when the pressures of motherhood beckoned. And that was it for K.B. Newman, and the curtain came down on an illustrious career.
The best horse that Kevin had that you saw, John?
Well, he didn't train Halwares, but he drove him in the majority of his races away from Tasmania, including that Miracle Mile you were talking about in 1968. He told me not once, but 10 times, that Halwares was not only the best horse he ever drove, he was the best horse he ever saw.
Right.
And somebody said to him once, could he run 148 and a half like Smokin' Up did at Menangle? And Newman said, well, we'll never know but I reckon he could have.
There you go. Now, John, for you, I know you sought counsel along the way through your fledgling training career, and you became quite close to Kevin, and no doubt one of the biggest thrills you had on a racetrack, despite all the big races you've won, was when one of your favourites, Chariot King, won a race named after Kevin, the Kevin Newman Cup at Menangle a couple of seasons ago. I reckon you would have been absolutely tickled pink to pick up a race named after Kev.
So that was one of the biggest thrills of my life and probably the supreme thrill of my many years in harness racing. The race was the Kevin Newman Cup. The great man was there himself to present the trophy. I never dreamed that I'd be lucky enough to be out there taking the trophy off him. And it didn't look too good in the run either when Chariot King was buried away four back pegs.
Mm.
And it was a brilliant Jimmy Douglas drive that got Chariot King home by a slender margin. And stepping onto that little stage area, that little podium they have at Menangle for presentations, was one of the proudest. As Neil Armstrong said, it was one giant step for mankind.
Yeah, I remember it well, and I could see the, to quote a John Tappism, you had a smile on you like a carpet snake in a fowl house.
I was just so delighted, Freddie. I didn't just take the trophy graciously from his grip. I snatched it.
And fair enough.
In case somebody pinched it, and it takes pride of place on a mantel shelf at home. I look at it every day, and you know what? Now that he's gone, I'll be looking at it twice a day.
Yeah, it means a lot. Good on you, John. Look, to Beryl, Julie, Debbie, and the rest of the extended family, our thoughts are with them. And I really appreciate you reflecting because I know that you were close to Kevin, and he was really a supreme master of the sport, and we will miss him greatly.
I'll miss him terribly, Fred, and I appreciate the opportunity to pay tribute to him. By the way, funeral details, Pine Grove, next Friday at 12 noon.
12 noon next Friday. That'll be the 4th of August. John, thanks so much. I'll let you get back. I know you've been busy with your horses this morning, so I'll let you get back to that, but appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure, Fred. See you soon.
Simon, John Tapp reflecting on Kevin Newman, and I think it said it all. John said it all there, just one of the real masters of the sport.
Yeah, he's got a real way with words, Tappy, hasn't he?
Oh, well, he's a wordsmith,
yeah.
And he's just brilliant. But I thought there was no one I could think of better to reflect on Kevin's career, given that I know John, did hold him in such high esteem in terms of his training capabilities. And I know John and I have spoken in the past of him, seeking advice and the like from Kevin. And John wasn't alone. Many, many people did. Even thoroughbred trainers started out and sought advice through Kevin Newman. And given the fact that John had called many of Kevin's great races at Harold Park, it just seemed fitting to get Tappy to have a say on Kevin's career and life and time. So,
yeah, that was a lovely tribute this morning.
Yeah, a bit different to our normal pacing rewind, but you don't get more rewinding than back to 1968 and 1981, do you, Simon?
Absolutely.
Some of those great races.
And they've honoured Kevin Newman with a race at Bathurst this afternoon on finals day.
Yeah, look, there'll be plenty of tributes, and justifiably so. As John said, Menangle have run a feature race, a group race, named after Kevin, and many clubs will no doubt do the same because he was one of the greats. 10 trainers' premierships, 8 drivers' premierships. He drove around 1,400 winners in an era where the proliferation of racing wasn't there. We didn't race as frequently as we did in terms of, meetings. So 1,400 wins throughout that tough era where you had, as John rattled off, Colin Watts, Jim Caffin, you had Kevin Robinson, Vic Frost, all those super Purse Hall, all those great trainer drivers of the era. Getting a winner was hard, but he managed to win over 500 Harold Park races and 1,400 in his career.
And how do the next 7 days look for us, Freddie?
Yeah, busy. We've got 8, as you said, 8 races at Bathurst today with the Regional Breeders' Challenge finals. Should be a great day up there. The weather has dawned lovely. Leeton with 8 Monday, Menangle 8 Tuesday, Bathurst 7 on Wednesday, and then we go Penrith Thursday, Tamworth and Young race on Friday with Newcastle and Menangle on Saturday night.
Good to chat to you this morning, Freddie. I enjoyed that. It was good to hear from Tappy.
always good to hear from Tappy, and he spoke as usual with great eloquence and aplomb to almost, again, quote Tappy.
Good on you. Good on you, Freddie. Enjoy your Sunday. I'll catch you next Sunday morning.
Yeah, we'll do it all again next week. Thanks, Don.
It's coming up to 10 to 11 here on Sky Sports Radio.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
We've had a big night of greyhound racing, particularly in Victoria, with the Group 1 on last night. And Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is on the line. Stewie, good morning.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Good, Stewie. How did you go last night?
Well, it was obviously, as you said there, a fantastic night's racing down in Victoria. Of course, the big race there was the Group 1 Maturity Classic, taken out by Mapunga Blazer, a greyhound who I think we're going to be speaking a lot about over these next few months, Simon. Mapunga Blazer capping off a terrific series by winning that final at the Meadows for his trainer, Jeff Britton. Mapunga Blazer was the $2 favourite from box six after winning his heat and semi-final in that series in super fashion. And look, he got the job done in terrific manner last night. A great win for him and a great win for his trainer, Jeff Britton. Well done to them both.
And it was a Jeff Britton Quinella in the Group 1. Let's have a listen to last night's Maturity Classic.
Racing, and Mapunga Blazer got a bit slow to get away. Very fast there. Aston didn't get out in the centre. She goes to the lead around the first turn. Getting up on the inside, there came Mapunga Blazer now second. A length and a half behind the leader. Paradiso Less up to third. Then came Shardale, followed then by Opal Nera. A gap in the race at a Trickster Rocks, followed by Dinah Jerry. And out at the tailors, Lady Charlotte coming off the back, though. Mapunga Blazer, the leader. Two lengths out in front. Paradiso Less with a burst getting through to the inside. It's Mapunga Blazer clear, and Mapunga Blazer won the Maturity nicely from Paradiso Lass.
So that's your Jeff Britton Quinella there, Stewie. Mapunga Blazer over Paradiso Lass. There was no surprise to the result there. Even money favourite. He was expected to win, wasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly was after how well he'd gone in the heat and the semi-final. And, of course, the job was made, I guess, a little easier by fast times, unfortunately, having to be scratched before the final due to a pin muscle injury. Hopefully, fast times will be back soon. But even so, look, a fantastic effort by Mapunga Blazer. When you consider some of the great the sport who've won this race over the years. Mapunga Blazer has now added his name to that. And look, this greyhound's now won 8 of 14 starts. And remember, Simon, he was out 2 months before the start of the series with a shoulder injury of his own. So to come back and win this one, I think it speaks volumes both for his quality and for Jeff Britton's qualities as a trainer to get him back winning a race of this quality. A fantastic effort and a fantastic win. And speaking of fantastic wins as well, Burn One Down last night at the Meadows as well, winning the fireball there for the Stayers. Gee, I'm running out of words to describe this greyhound, Simon. Just an absolutely fantastic stayer, and he won that race in super fashion. What an unbelievable greyhound he is.
Racing, Burn One Down, jumped away, it goes a beautiful line early, going through Dundee Calypso, pounced on the early lead there from Caco Potion, back on the inside there came Dr. Leonardo, Burn One Down, rolling up on the inside, is third at the top of the straight, the first time round, about 8 off the lead, in behind them there came Mix Angel, followed by Billy's Bag, and then Dr. Leonardo, Molly Chapter, Evie Ripper at the tail, going to the back on the final round, it's Dundee Calypso, the leader, by 3 lengths out of Caco Potion, going up on the inside as Burn One Down, 15 lengths away then came Mix Angel. Further back on the outside there, Billy's Baker. They were followed by Dr. Leonardo. Evie Ripper and Molly Chapter up to the turn, and Burn One Down went around the outside and took the lead now. And Burn One Down racing away. He's a towering inferno tonight, Burn One Down, and raced away to beat Mix Angel.
Yeah, might have been beaten in the semi there, Stewie, but too strong in the final. $1.45, they expected him to win. Mix Angel running second, and third was a dead heat between Caco Potion and Dundee Calypso.
Yeah, he doesn't get it wrong two races in a row, does he? Burn One Down, Simon. Look, as I said, I'm running out of words to describe him. He's just such a fantastic greyhound. Won some brilliant races over the last 18 months, put in some fantastic performances. I think that run last night was basically his trademark. And look, he got the job done again. And look, we just hope he's around for a while yet, because he's given us so much pleasure watching him in full cry.
So what does Shona Thompson do with Burn One Down now?
Well, we've got the heats of the national championships, which are taking place across the country this coming week, and Victoria will be hosting theirs on Thursday. So I think we're just waiting to see if Burn One Down goes in that one over the distance, in the distance championship there, Simon. So, but look, this greyhound, he's obviously got the world at his paws, to be honest. But as I said, hopefully he'll be around for a good while yet, so we can keep enjoying his runs, because he's just such a wonderful greyhound to watch.
And it wasn't only the Meadows which had feature greyhound racing last night. We also had the Group 2 Shepparton Cup.
We did. What a race this was. Zinzan Brook taking this one out, Simon, in an absolutely storming finish. He had to finish off, he had to hold off the likes of Lucky Chap and Bewildering to win this one, but win it he did. A super win for Zinzan Brook and his trainer, Brooke Ennis. And I think it just shows, Simon, how persistence pays off, because Zinzan Brook had reached 4 Country Cup finals. He'd never quite got the job done, but he certainly did last night. What a fantastic effort. Congratulations to Connections.
Racing, Zinzan Brook only fair to go, pinging away Good Girl Sandy out to lead. Zinzan Brook, Lucky Chap coming over to third. They're out by 3 to Alpha Lucky, then Bewildering. Well Bet Rock and Rico, Annabelle's Boy, Ando's Mac off the back, and Lucky Chap now got through underneath of Good Girl Sandy, took the lead. Running on Alpha Lucky, Zinzan Brook, and then Bewildering. Lucky Chap turned the leader, a length in front, Bewildering, and driving through late, Zinzan Brook. And Zinzan Brook got there. What a head, Bewildering.
Yeah, it looked like Bewildering had register another feature win for Shona Thompson there. But Zinzan Brook, as you said, Stewie, too good for Brooke Ennis.
Yeah, that was an absolutely wonderful race. And look, Simon, when you consider the quality of greyhounds who were involved in that series, ones that didn't even make it through to the final, then all up for me, I think that qualifies as one of the wins of the year. An absolutely fantastic effort by Zinzan Brook. And it'll be really interesting to see how he goes in the Country Cups over the next 18 months. I think he'll have another win or two up his sleeve.
And close to the home, how was the action at Wentworth Park last night?
Yeah, we had some great action there, Simon, and it was wonderful to see Mr. Twister back winning at headquarters. Of course, Mr. Twister, the recent Group 1 Peter Mosman Classic winner. He hadn't had the best of luck recently at Wentworth Park, but he beat a strong field last night in a good time as well, 29.83 on a pretty slow track there. Look, he looks a big chance in the New South Wales Sprint Championships, which gets underway this Saturday night at Wentworth Park. I think he's the one to beat in that series.
Racing, Mr. Twister came out running, and so did Royal Turbo. Royal Turbo's driving hard, had the lead by 2 over Mr. Twister. Moving to third, Tigalong Dot, and then Emission Control, Winsome Mission, followed by Techno, Riley Tokam near the tail. Royal Turbo on top on the top corner. 3 quarters, Mr. Twister, he's putting on the power. He moved up, grabbed the lead, shot away. Then Riley Tokam, Tigalong Dot, Mr. Twister bolting in. Mr. Twister first, terrific go, Miners.
So Mr. Twister there, as you mentioned, looks a strong chance for the New South Wales Championships. What are those coming up, Stu?
Yeah, so the New South Wales Sprint Championships, that starts this Saturday coming with the heats there. And as you mentioned, Mr. Twister, he's probably going to be the one to watch in that one. A couple of the others who are in contention, Winsome Mission, who was in that race last night, racing really well at the moment. And I think as well, Royal Turbo, who had no luck there last night either at Wentworth Park, should be in contention. Also at Wentworth Park, just finishing off there last night, well done to Loretta Rice, but she scored a double with 6 cents, and Natalie Didi. Both these greyhounds have been really reliable performers for Loretta over the last couple of months. Always great to have success at Wentworth Park, so well done to her.
Now, looking ahead this week, Stewie, at Goulburn on Tuesday, we've got heats on the Zoom Top.
We certainly do. This is a Zoom Top maiden, and it's an absolutely wonderful series on paper, this one, Simon. Some terrific looking pups involved in this one. I'll give you 2 to watch. Twisted Love, who's got box 2 in heat 2. Now, she's a daughter of Fernando Bale and Double Twist, the 2013 New South Wales Greyhound of the Year. How about that for a pedigree? I also like Sharif, who's got box 5 in the 8th, for Mark Gass. I think that greyhound could be one to watch. Another series to keep an eye on, Simon, which gets underway tonight, is the Group 3 Darwin Cup. We've got 4 heats of this one. Now, Invictus Rapid, a super victory. Victorian Greyhound. I think from memory, he was runner-up in the Group 1 Peter Mosman Classic last year. Well, he's gone up to Darwin for this, and he's probably one to keep an eye on. But look, we got success. We tipped Split Image to win the Rockhampton Cup, and Split Image got up this week. So, look, for the Darwin Cup, I'm going to go with Off and On here. Off and On has got Fox 4 in Heat 4. Now, she's run some strong time at the Northern New South Wales tracks over the last couple of weeks. She's already had a look at